9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
A U.S. House committee votes to release former President Donald Trump's tax returns. Plus, Ukraine's president heads to Washington, and we'll look at the effects as U.S. companies contend with a shortage of accountants.
The timing is not ideal as the economy slows and companies are focused on trying to preserve liquidity.
It's Wednesday, December 21st. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News. The top headlines and business stories moving your world today. A U.S. House panel has voted to release former President Donald Trump's tax returns. That move by the Ways and Means Committee caps a years-long legal and political fight and is expected to lead to a full set of tax documents to become public in the coming days. Select tax data released by the committee on Tuesday showed that Donald and Melania Trump reported negative adjusted gross income in 4 of the 6 years from 2015 through 2020. The Trumps paid some form of federal taxes every year, but reported income tax liability of $750 or less in 3 of those 6 years. Democrats contend that the Internal Revenue Service, which has yet to complete the Trump's audits for 2015 through 2020, was too slow and timid in how it handled Trump's tax returns, particularly during his presidency. Texas Representative Kevin Brady, the panel's top Republican, meanwhile, said it was premature to assess how thorough a job the IRS had done in auditing Trump's taxes. A spokesman for Trump on Tuesday night called approving the release of the tax returns an unprecedented leak by lame duck Democrats. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to meet with President Biden in Washington today before addressing a joint session of Congress. Wall Street Journal reporter James Marson in Lviv, Ukraine, has more on the visit.
This is the first visit that President Zelensky is making outside of Ukraine since the start of the Russian invasion on February the 24th this year. And it's no surprise that his first visit is to the U.S. The U.S. has been the rock of support for Ukraine in terms of political support, in terms of arms deliveries. And we understand that President Biden will use the visit to announce that the U.S. will provide a Patriot anti-missile battery to Ukraine, something they've wanted for a long time. But it's just part of a whole suite of defensive weapons which they need. And with the Patriot anti-missile batteries, what you have to understand is these things take a long time to deploy and to get the Ukrainians trained up on.
U.S. officials have said it's unlikely that the Patriot battery could be deployed in Ukraine before the spring. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin has described the situation in occupied Ukrainian territories as, quote, extremely difficult. That rare admission that the war in Ukraine is facing obstacles was accompanied by an order for domestic security forces to tighten their checks on Russians at home, as the Kremlin appears to gird for what is likely to be a long conflict. Elon Musk said he plans to step down as Twitter CEO after casting doubt on a poll he initiated Sunday to vote on the future leadership of the social media platform. More than 17 million Twitter accounts responded to Musk's poll, with nearly 58% voting for him to step down. On Tuesday, Musk tweeted he would resign as CEO as soon as he finds, quote, someone foolish enough to take the job, end quote, and that after that, he would just run the company's software and server teams. And we are exclusively reporting that the National Football League is in advanced talks to give Google's YouTube exclusive rights to NFL Sunday Ticket, a subscription-only package that lets football fans watch most Sunday afternoon games. That is according to people familiar with the matter. An agreement could be reached as early as today, following a meeting of NFL owners who approve rights deals, though the terms being discussed for the agreement couldn't immediately be learned. And finally, on tap for today, Sam Bankman-Fried, the jailed founder of crypto exchange FTX, is expected to return to court in the Bahamas to seek his transfer into U.S. custody. E-commerce innovation was all the rage during the pandemic as retailers questioned whether shoppers would ever return to physical stores in force. But now the pendulum is swinging in the other direction as chief information officers draw up plans to give physical stores and the payment processes within them an overhaul. Wall Street Journal enterprise tech reporter Isabel Bousquet has been tracking this shift in retail investment, and she joins us now with the details. Hey, Isabel.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So you say that CIOs right now are looking into redoing in-store payment processes. What exactly might that look like, and what's motivating this?
Yeah, there's a lot of new and cool emerging technology that's, you know, really focused on the payment space right now. Processes are being invented that would allow consumers to pay over sound waves, which is a technology that's actually used by the military. They would basically tap a button on their smartphone and the data would be encoded in a sound wave that would then be received by another device. Kroger is piloting a smart shopping cart that would be kitted out with sensors and cameras that would track the actual merchandise that's going into the shopping cart so that you wouldn't have to scan individual items at the till. So there's lots of innovation, lots of exciting new tech in this space. I think what CIOs are sort of waking up to realize post-pandemic is that they put a lot into e-commerce during that time. They put a lot of investments into making e-commerce a really seamless, personalized, cool experience. It's harder to do that in stores, especially if you're a retailer with, you know, hundreds or thousands of locations. But if you're a consumer and you're going to shop somewhere that feels old-fashioned or feels antiquated, that's a turnoff for you as a consumer. And I think CIOs are really realizing that if they don't make these investments, modernizing the in-store payment experience, they risk losing customers.
And Isabel, if retailers do decide to innovate here and make all these changes, is this likely to pay off for them? These can't be inexpensive overhauls to make within stores.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think cost is really the biggest challenge here. The other thing is there's hesitation around what consumers actually want and what consumers are actually ready for. A lot of consumers don't want to be tracked around stores while they shop. They don't want, you know, those cameras watching them and taking notes on what they're buying. And I think there's a consensus among CIOs that the consumers want a better, more seamless experience. But right now, they're not really ready for that full kind of friction-free experience as it's been modeled.
That was Wall Street Journal enterprise tech reporter Isabel Bousquet. Isabel, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you again.
Coming up, we'll look at what a shortage of accountants means for finance departments at businesses small and large. That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
American businesses are hungry for accountants. Small, medium, and large employers alike are increasingly struggling to fill roles on their finance teams, deepening an issue that has vexed them for the past decade. And joining us now with a look at what businesses are doing to try and fill these positions and what might happen if they can't is Wall Street Journal CFO Journal reporter Mark Maurer, who joins us from New York. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, what kind of roles are we specifically talking about here? And what kind of shortfalls are we actually seeing in the profession?
We're primarily talking about accountants and auditors. So it's financial professionals that are managing the books internally at a company. It also pertains to auditors outside of companies that are performing audit services for those clients. Accountants play crucial roles within a business. And we have some data from Revelio Labs showing that there are more open positions for these roles, and the searches for those candidates are taking much longer to complete than they had in the past.
Can you put a number on it? I'm just curious if you can quantify that shortfall. How extreme is it?
So the number of postings for U.S. accounting and audit roles were around 178,000 this year through November, and that's up from around 140,000 last year. And so that 178,000 figure is the highest level it's been since at least 2008. At the same time, these jobs on average are requiring about 56 days to fill this year, and that's up from 46 days previous year.
And Mark, what is driving this shortfall of accountants and auditors?
There are a number of reasons. So more generally, fewer people are pursuing college. But also within accounting, students seem maybe less interested in the profession than they were in previous years. You know, spoke to people who say that maybe that's not the case, and that it's that there's a lack of awareness of the various opportunities that come with a job in accounting or audit. It could also be that the salaries are not high enough in some workers' eyes.
What challenges is the shortfall causing across the business landscape?
The dearth of accounting and audit employees affects companies of all sizes and all industries. But a smaller company is more likely to be hit hard by this, because these are critical roles. But if maybe you kind of lack the resources of a large operation, it can make you more vulnerable to financial reporting errors, potentially fraud. It could make you more vulnerable to your competitors. You know, the roles that these workers perform are often crucial for, you know, managing the internal controls and financial reporting and the overall financial operations of a business.
Is this inconvenient timing to have a lack of these employees?
The timing is not ideal. As the economy slows and companies are focused on trying to preserve their liquidity, or at least thinking about ways to cut costs and find new efficiencies within the business, these are essential roles within those teams.
And Mark, finally, how are businesses responding to this shortfall of accountants and auditors? What are they doing to try and get these people through the door? And will that be enough to actually make up for the shortfall they're experiencing?
Companies are looking to raise salaries and increase pay packages. Some companies are also trying to be more flexible with remote work. Other firms are relying more heavily on temporary workers and interns than they had in the past. One example that we looked at in the story is a wine manufacturer, a vintage wine estates, said that they usually try to fill open positions within 90 days, but in recent months, it's taking almost double that amount of time to do that. And as a result, they've had to offer higher salaries to candidates for certain positions and bringing on more interns. As the CFO said, we sweetened the pot a little bit from where the company was originally.
Can they sweeten it enough to really draw back the number of accountants that seem like are really needed now?
In downturns, accounting and audit roles tend to be more appealing to a business student because it's a stable position, perhaps more stable than some other industries like marketing, communications, others. Therefore, you know, a potential recession could send more students back into the profession. At the same time, as Brandy Britton of Robert Half International, which is a human resources consulting firm, told us, the shortage is expected to remain for at least the near future.
That was Wall Street Journal CFO Journal reporter Mark Maurer joining us from New York. Mark, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
And finally, the latest trend in the medical psychedelic movement involves no high at all. With mind-bending psychedelics, including MDMA, magic mushrooms, and LSD, now being studied as potential treatments for depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and addiction, dozens of companies and academic laboratories are setting out to make changes to the structure of those drugs or to design similar compounds that take advantage of their therapeutic properties without the high. Wall Street Journal health reporter Brianna Abbott explains the potential of this growing market.
There are a lot of analysts that are anticipating that there might be an approval for a classic psychedelic within the next year, and that they really anticipate this market growing over the next couple of years. One place, LEK Consulting, estimated that global revenue from psychedelics could reach $8 billion by 2027. A lot of these are for conditions like mental health treatment and addiction, which are areas that affect millions of people. And a lot of these companies think that tapping into the potential benefit of psychedelics might be their way to make their own mark and patent their own compounds, but also tap into this market of people who are desperate for treatment in these areas.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Happy solstice, and thanks for listening.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.